Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. You got your co-host, Chris Kellum, and
Tyler Yaw.
This week, we bring on our special guest,
Andrew Nettleman.
Nice to meet you, Andrew.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course.
And from what I've been told is you are the president of Azalea Fest.
Yeah, the 77th president of the North Carolina Azalea Festival.
Oh, wow. Year.
Nice. Yep. Wait, do they get one every year?
Yes, every year.
Oh, wow.
Different every year?
Yeah. So we've got five people on the board. It used to be six, and you rotate through. And so your last year on the board, you're the president.
Oh, interesting. Yep. I'm sure we'll get more into that, too. So
sure can.
But before we do that, Chris, what are we sipping on?
So this week, we bring back a classic. It was actually one of our giveaway whiskeys.
That's right.
A while ago. But we did Wild Turkey Long Branch back when Wild Turkey and Matthew McConaughey synced up and tried to make something a little different. This one has vanilla on the nose, and then taste should be a floral, honeysuckle, caramel, prunes, and pear. A little bit of citrus. So let's check it out. Cheers it up.
Yeah, this one's always a sleeper. I always forget how good it is.
Definitely get that vanilla, you know, right off the top. Yeah. But absolutely. Got some of that fruitiness to it, too.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you from North Carolina?
Yeah. Well, all over. I've lived the majority of my life here in Wilmington since I was like three or four. Lived in upstate New York for a couple of years in high school and then moved right back right afterwards.
Don't blame me.
Totally. So, wait, do you know what honeysuckle is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All my family's from Alabama, and so I grew up on the farm in Alabama. I definitely know what honeysuckle is.
We asked somebody a few weeks ago, and they're like, what?
I didn't know what honeysuckle
really?
Was either.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I'm from PA.
Go out there, pull it off the vine, and pull it apart, pop that little
exactly
drop
what
in your mouth.
Chris said, yep.
That's like 8 years old in the summer in Alabama all over again right there.
See?
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're not talking about honeysuckle this week. We're talking about azaleas, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
A little bit different of a flowering plant.
It's right? A different type of a flower now.
Oh, I mean, you can't really eat an azalea, but they're just so beautiful.
They are. Those like 80-year-old bushes that you see around town, you know, like around a tree. And you just think about how many hurricanes that those bushes have lived
good
through.
Point,
is like the thought that always pops in my head.
See, I never thought about that.
I was going to say, that actually is a really good point. Never even thought about it. Yeah.
They're a very weather-resistant plant.
Yeah, they're right along the coast. You know, you drive down the Loop Road or whatever, and all those old houses have these, you know, ginormous azaleas. So to me, it's just like they'll weather the storm. You know, they're and if I'm not mistaken, they can even take salt water. So like if salt water gets washed up on them, they'll die back, but then they'll come right back again. So I think it's really cool.
Totally represents Wilmington.
It does.
Yeah,
it really
100%,
does.
100%, yeah.
It really does.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself and how did you end up in this awesome position?
Sure. So I'm a criminal defense attorney by trade. Graduated from Chapel Hill undergrad Elon Law School.
Okay.
Like I said, I spent most of my life growing up here. My mom was involved in the Azalea Festival as a volunteer when I was a kid. Like one of my earliest memories is helping pick up trash after the parade one year. I mean, I was like five or six and we're out there picking up trash. So I always loved Wilmington, moved back here after school, brought my wife who I met in law school back. She's also an attorney and then was, you know, working on building my practice. We got out of law school 2009, not a great time to be coming out of school. But so we hung our own shingle and just kind of built our practice. And then along the way, through some contacts with my parents and some people I met, you know, in the courthouse and stuff like that, someone said, oh, you know, why don't you help us out at the Azalea Festival? We need some help. And so I became, you know, one of the 1,000 volunteers that we have every year for a couple of years, then became kind of a step up from just volunteering at an event as a committee chair where you're in charge of one of the events that we do or something related to the festival. So I did a bunch of different jobs there. No joke, started in sanitation. So my job was like porta potties and garbage cans, you know, like, but it started way down at the bottom and eventually was in charge of the souvenir book that we we printed a souvenir book for years and years about every festival. And so I was in charge of that for a couple of years. And then my last year, I also was in charge of the garden party. So put on the garden party, which is
a good one.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, though. Yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, my hat goes off to all of our volunteers, but especially the ones putting that party together. That's a major, that's a life commitment. And so then after that, I applied for and was accepted on the board, and then over 5 or 6 years, moved my way up the board to being president now.
Oh, wow. So tell us a little bit more about that. So how do you move up from position to position to president?
Yeah, there's a succession, essentially. Okay. So when I got on the board, there were six board members, and we had treasurer, assistant treasurer, secretary, vice president, president-elect, and president. Is that six?
Yep.
Yeah. And then during COVID, we went down a board member and didn't replace it. And so we've moved to a 5-member board, but you just move up. So last year I was president-elect. This year I'm president.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So do you have to do all positions in order to be president?
Yeah. You kind of learn, you know, the thing is that the typically the people that the board votes to join you on the board are people that have done a lot of those other positions I did. And then once you get on the board, you kind of learn. You start with, you know, taking minutes, but you learn, you know, how the board works and then how the money works and, you know, sponsorship relations and all that sort of stuff till your last year. You're kind of in charge of the whole thing, but I can't take much credit. I mean, we have the best staff that anybody could ask for. Our executive director, Allison Behringer, is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, if something happened to her, I don't know what we do, but our over the years, as the festival's grown and we've added more events, that staff piece of the puzzle went from, you know, part-time to full-time one person. Mm-hmm. And now we're up to three full-time people. We've got a part-time person that does our social media. And then we have a grant that we funded through UNCW. So during festival season, we bring in interns from UNCW. We pay them through that grant that we have set up at UNCW, and they get school credit because they're in like parks and rec management or event stuff that is relevant to the Azalea Festival. So they get school credit and they get paid as part-time staff, and they help us in the ticket office and all that sort of thing as well.
Oh, that's neat. So before we get too far into the weeds of Azalea Festival, so believe it or not, the number two country that listens to our podcast more than any American or behind Americans is Australia.
Uh-huh.
So for our Australian folks, can you explain what Azalea Fest is?
Sure. So Azalea Festival started by a group of businessmen well before there was a chamber of commerce or anything like that.
Oh, wow.
And it was a way to celebrate spring and the changing of the seasons and how beautiful southeastern North Carolina is. And it was also started as a driver for local businesses, right? And so there wasn't a chamber of commerce like doing pro-business things, but the founders thought was we're going to put on a parade and a street fair and do these other events that highlight what our area businesses are going to do. We're going to collect money for things from the people that attend, and we're going to turn around and hire the local businesses to stimulate the local economy. So it started there, and over the years, it's grown into kind of this really massive, almost year-long thing that kind of represents southeastern North Carolina. So we've got coming up next weekend, we've got a scholarship pageant. That's for local area high school students. The winner of that pageant is going to be named the Princess, North Carolina Azalea Festival Princess. We give away more money in that pageant than any other pageant in the state not named Miss North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
So
that's incredible.
We're giving away scholarship funds, essentially, for that. And then we're going to pick our princess in our court. And then the princess is our year-round representative. She goes to, you know, the Blueberry Festival or the Spot Festival or whatever the things are in the region. She'll be our representative at those things. We have an amazing volunteer who will take her in her convertible and drive her through the parades and, you know, escort her where she goes. So it's the Azalea Festival kind of has come, we hope, to represent kind of all the facets of Wilmington's community to be still be that driver for local businesses as well.
Oh, that's neat. So is it primarily kind of run by volunteers then?
Yeah. So we're all volunteers except for the staff I mentioned.
Okay.
We have over 1,000 volunteers, which is incredible. And that number is creeping up closer to 1,500 every single year. Wow. So you know, the cool thing about it is whatever people are into, they come to us and say, hey, I think the festival should do this. And my response has always been, I think that's a great idea. You should be in charge of it, you know? And so over the years, now we have a boxing tournament. People come in from all over the country for this boxing tournament that takes place downtown at the convention center. We've got a coin show that sells out like the instant it opens every single year at the Elks Lodge. We started a couple years ago a thing called International Blooms, where we highlight a country that's represented in our community. So last year was our first year. We did Mexico. That was the largest, you know, population of non-native North Carolinians or non-native United States people here in the area was Mexico. This year we've chosen the Philippines. So yesterday we had a fashion show where we highlighted a bunch of local designers and boutiques. And part of that fashion show was we had a Filipino designer who showed off some of her designs. We had a chef showcase last month downtown where we highlighted five different local chefs in southeastern North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They each made a dish, brought it out. You know, we paired it with a wine. They came up on stage, told us about it. One of those chefs was a Filipino chef. And so we got Filipino food. So we're interweaving Filipino culture all throughout everything that we're doing in the festival. And then next year it'll be a new country. And so we just think it's a great way to kind of highlight a segment of our population because they're part of Wilmington too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
That's interesting. Like when you, so I'm from here. Mm-hmm. And so in my head, I'm like, oh, hey, it's the Azalea Festival. And I think of like the parade and I think of like the classic bells. And I would have never thought of like, hey, this is a way to talk about and showcase everybody else, not just the, you know, the traditional natives of the area.
Well, and you know, we've got two big concerts we throw. You know, we got T-Pain, Chase Rice coming. I'm sure we can talk about those at some point. But feedback that we got for years was we're not doing enough to highlight the local music artists, you know? Mm. And so now what we've started is we've got on Saturday of Azalea Festival week at Greenfield Lake, we've got a full day of local bands, one right after the other all day long. I don't have it yet. I'd show you. We've got this amazing local artist that's made us like a classic tour poster that shows all the bands. We're making t-shirts with that. And so, you know, anywhere that we see that there's and a lot of this comes from the community coming to us and saying, hey, you're not, you know, highlighting local artists enough. And if there's a desire for that to happen and somebody has a strong enough desire for that to happen, we'll figure out a way to make the money work to do those things. So over the last 10 years, the festival's kind of really grown into trying to address more than just street fair and parade and some concerts, but, you know, meet all of the niche communities that makes Wilmington awesome, meet them where they are, I guess.
I like that.
That's neat. And it shows the adaptability too, because there's so many people moving to Wilmington for whatever many reasons that they're coming here for.
Absolutely. And you know, if you want to go downtown and get a funnel cake and a turkey leg and that's the Azalea Festival to you, then awesome. We're going to continue to do that. But you know, this to me is about a celebration of what, you know, kind of our river to the sea community is. Mm-hmm. And that's all these other little groups and the little groups is what makes the big group so awesome. For sure.
See, so you mentioned this in my brain, cause I remember for years there were concerts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then it shifted to just two. And I was like, I wonder why we shifted to two, but it makes sense is like, you can highlight on Saturday, like all of these local bands, like that to me is like so much cooler than just, I mean, I like getting vintage and like retro artists showing up, but I feel like it's cool to bring up.
Well, and for, you know, the first, you know, we didn't do concerts since year one, right? Yeah. But for the 20 or so years that we did concerts, first at Trask at UNCW, and then we built our own stage in the parking lot at Cape Fear Community College, we were the only people in town that did concerts, right? Yes. So if Wilmington was going to get a concert, it was going to be during the Azalea Festival. Well, now that we've got Live Oak Pavilion and Live Nation's putting on 25 shows a year, we're not the only concert, you know, in town. And that's tough for us, you know, from a financial perspective sometimes, because being an independent concert promoter is a tough business to be in. Yes. Absolutely. It's very tough. But at the same time, can we better spend that money now that Wilmington's getting all those concerts? Mm-hmm. Can we still have a couple of concerts for the festival and do well? But then can we spend some of that money in an area that's addressing, you know, the community in another way that's maybe being underserved?
So that's a really smart way of doing it.
Yeah. We think so.
Right. Thank you. Oh, for sure. I was sitting like, Chris being Chris, I'm pulling ADD and have like all the stuff up here. And I'm just like, that's just so interesting. Like how much the Azalea Fest puts back into the community, not just like, oh, we're just a festival. Mm-hmm. Like I never realized how much these things bring to the area. Well,
we're a nonprofit, you know, so it's over $1 million a year that we're investing right back into the local community.
That's crazy. Wow,
yeah. And that's not even counting the thousands of people that are coming to the
exactly you know we the last count was a few years ago, but we estimate that we have about 250,000 people come downtown to the street fair every year, right? And you know, there's going to be people downtown on a random Saturday or Sunday, but it's not going to be a quarter million people a weekend. So we know we had a economic impact study done, but it's been about 10 years ago now. So I don't know the numbers off the top of your heads, but it's hotel rooms, it's restaurant nights, you know, Airbnbs, all those sorts of things. And then our partners are also like included, but not really included in that. You know, the Cape Fear Garden Club garden tour that they do during Azalea Festival week, they're an associated event of ours. And all them, my understanding is all the money they raise from that, they turn around and invest right back into the community. So like the Wilmington sign on where I-40 hits, what is the bypass out there, but like they'll come in and plant all the flowers around that, or the hospital entrance needs, you know, say that they need beautification, then they'll pay to have azaleas brought in to put in there. So, you know, that's money even outside of the money that the Azalea Festival proper sees. It's all the other associated events. And so that's another big focus of ours has been partnering with other nonprofit organizations. Paws for People is another one. That's a great organization here that raises companion animals for veterans and the disabled. And so we've partnered with them the last few years in different ways. And one of those partnerships is still going on right now. You can nominate your pets for their pet royalty court. It's cool. $1 a vote for the votes. And we use that. We're going to give that money to Paws for People to help fund their mission. And the winners have a float in the parade. And so, you know, your pet royalty can ride in the parade. And we've done different things with them over the years. And our partnership with other nonprofits is just growing every single year.
Look,
that's neat.
So I have a Chris question.
Okay.
I always call it, because it's
means
so
random.
It is, but it isn't, right? So the non-specific, you always pretty much have concerts for a hip-hop artist and a country artist for the most part. How do y'all figure that out?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Honestly, it's one of the most stressful things of the festival for me. Because like I said, the music industry considers us an independent promoter, right? And so we're going to these artists and we have about the same standing as some guy in LA that's wanting to hire somebody for a bar mitzvah for his daughter, right?
Oh. I mean,
and so there's always we've got to look at how many tickets do we think that we can sell to these shows? Mm-hmm. What is it that the artist is asking for? Who can we afford, essentially? And so it's always kind of a balancing act. And some years we've gotten really lucky with those concerts, and some years we've lost our shorts in those to those concerts, if I'm being honest. And so we've got, luckily, Live Nation has helped us. They're great partners in the venue. Mm-hmm. And then we have our own agents and stuff that we've worked with for decades at this point. And so, you know, they'll say, well, here's some acts that I think are priced about right. For a long time, what the festival did was that we would have whoever won the American Idol. Mm-hmm. This was like their second stop, because American Idol would end and they'd already have the winner essentially booked. Picked. And so there was a lot of years where like Carrie Underwood came, Scotty McCreery came. Oh, wow. Some of those were just because of that pipeline. And then the American Idol season changed. The other problem we have is that it's awards season in California, you know? And mm-hmm. so if we're looking to book a country act, if they've got a new album out, the CMTs are often that same weekend as the Azalea Festival. So if they're up for an award, maybe they're not looking to book something that weekend. You've also got the problem of a lot of these artists are on tours. And yeah. so if either you get lucky and you line up with their tour and that makes it easy, or you end up having to pay for rental equipment and to fly them in. And yeah. and so there's all sorts of considerations. But at the end of the day, we want to pick artists that we think people are going to enjoy and that we feel like we can sell tickets to. Because it's at the end of the day, we're trying to make a little money on the concert so we can fund all the other things stuff. I've been talking about. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Oddly enough, I follow T-Pain,
mm-hmm.
which he's our the concert. Mm-hmm, if you haven't bought a ticket, you should definitely do that.
Oh, you should, because they're selling. They're really selling.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's I'm pretty sure it's going to be a sold out show.
So. Because he shifted from being like a traditional artist to like doing more like, I think he's independent, I guess, now, or he's doing something of the sorts. That but makes sense, yeah. He also just randomly released an album or like two albums.
Oh, I'm
like,
oh,
this will be nice because everyone's expecting old school music, but then he has some new stuff.
We announced him, and then like a week later, he released a whole bunch of videos on his YouTube and all the shorts and stuff of him covering like Tennessee Whiskey and a bunch of songs. Yeah. And like, he's really good, you know?
Yes.
And the joke was T-Pain was the autotune king, right? But right. it turns out T-Pain can actually sing pretty well. Yeah. So people keep asking me, is he going to do that stuff? Is he going to do his old stuff? We don't have control over what it is he puts on the stage. So I'll know what everybody else knows what he's going to do, but nice. I kind of hope he does Tennessee Whiskey because killed it in that video. Oh,
it's always funny because I remember he released that and then he was talking about, because he was on like The Masked Singer or something like that. And he's like, yeah, I knew I was going to win.
Right.
And everyone looked at me and they're like, wait, that was you? He's like, yeah, I've been able to sing auto-tune, just no one was doing it. So right. like, get in where you can.
Exactly. When you were talking to about a quarter million people going downtown during mm-hmm. that time, just put into context for people who don't understand that, that's pretty much the whole population, New Hanover County.
Right, right. Yeah, that's send them all downtown in one weekend.
Which doesn't happen.
I was going to say, it does not typically happen.
And, you know, it's crazy being basically a lifelong Wilmingtonian. When I was a kid, you didn't go downtown. It was not a safe place to be. There were no bars there. Well, there were a couple bars, but it's like the Barbary Coast, you know, for years they had that sign up out front that said, we've upped our standards, so up yours. Right.
Yeah.
But like, it was not a safe place to be. And over my lifetime, downtown's totally transformed into this really vibrant, you know, alive space, in much in the same way as Charleston or Savannah or one of those. If you're not familiar with Wilmington, but you may have heard of one of those places.
Yeah.
I wish we could be like Savannah.
Beer on the street.
Yeah.
I went to Savannah for spring break in college back in the day. That was a lot of fun.
One large social district.
Yeah.
If only people weren't stupid. Then we could get away with it.
You know, that's a pretty big if.
Right. Is that ever something you guys talked about, was like petitioning the state to make downtown like a social district during that time?
We haven't done it for a couple reasons. Number one is, there's already bars and you know, clubs and restaurants downtown, and so we want people to patronize those places. There are some limited examples where, like this year, that small little parking lot almost across from Basics, there's a little parking lot there. I think we've got a liquor permit for that parking lot, and we're going to do like some like wine yoga and some stuff like that in that parking lot. So I think the Linen Flig lot, which is where our performing arts stage, I can't remember. I think we have alcohol in that. So there's a couple of smaller areas where we have alcohol, but at the same time, like I said, we since part of our mission is to promote local businesses, we want to make sure that our local bars and restaurants have plenty of people going in there.
Sure.
Yeah, I saw that the official after party for Chase Rice is at Eagles Dare.
Yep.
Oh, really?
And okay. we had Joe on.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, it was almost here. It was a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right when they open.
Well, they have a party before too, so they're gonna be like teaching line dance and then that stuff that they do, and then that's gonna be outside, and then afterwards because of the noise ordinance and stuff, they're gonna move it inside to that big open room that they have. So I think that's gonna be really cool too.
You should definitely check that out. Like they are always throwing a party. Azalea Fest, I feel like, is the beginning of their summer events.
He was telling us, we were actually there one day this past week, and he was telling us about all the stuff they got going on, and First Fridays is line dancing night and all sorts of stuff. So it sounds like a blast.
It'll be awesome. Talking about a blast.
And Chase Rice always just pops into some bar when he's in town.
I was going to say, he usually goes somewhere.
Yeah, and I won't say where he usually goes because they already get mobbed, but and I have no idea where he's going to go, but if there's a big sign with his face on it at Eagles Dare, he might just show up there. You never know.
Right.
You know?
He's an interesting fellow.
He is.
I didn't know who he was, and this is the problem with me just being me. I didn't figure out who he was until watching Survivor. And he, like, I'm pretty sure his agent got him onto Survivor because right at the finale, like, he showed up and was like, oh, this is my new song.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like, I still don't know who you are. And my wife is like, oh, that's Chase, like Chase Rice.
Yeah.
And we had one of his like friends from high school or from college on here too.
Yeah,
oh, he's like a local boy too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, he really is. And he'd just come into town and just go hang out at a bar, you know, people coming up to him, kind of mobbing him, and he doesn't really seem to care. He'll sign autographs and all that sort of stuff. So that's cool. I'm not going to contribute to it, but ask a friend. Somebody in town knows where Chase Rice hangs
out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. So my question, did you ever run talking about crazy parties? Did you ever run the garden party?
Yeah. So the last year before I got on the board, I did sanitation. So I was in charge of porta potties and garbage cans and all of that. And we have a great partner with Rena John for that, who makes it incredibly easy for us. And I ran the souvenir book and I ran the garden party. So it was a busy, busy Azalea Festival for me. That's for sure.
Sure.
Wow.
So for those who don't know, what is the garden party?
So garden party, think dress up like you're going to the Kentucky Derby. So the women wear big hats, men wear seersucker, tan suits, that sort of thing. And we have a beautiful local garden, Airlie Gardens here, that was donated to the county about 70 years ago. And so we throw a huge outdoor cocktail party there for, you know, a couple thousand of our closest friends. And it's kind of the place to see and be seen, as I always joke, during the Azalea Festival is the garden party. So it's just a day of hanging out and drinking bourbon. Got other drinks for other people. Yeah. We have some great partners that are always there. Biddy and Bose is coming back for their third or fourth year. So if you need that cup of coffee later in the day, that's a great place to do it. We had Blade and Bow was a partner for a long time.
It says they're one this
year too. So they normally bring a trailer out and set up a horse trailer and serve drinks out of it. Aperol is now a partner of ours. And, you know, Aperol is big.
Aperol spritz can get you.
So we got those there. We always have some sort of meal. Normally it's barbecue and fried chicken. And then, of course, open bar.
Yes.
And a band or a DJ playing. So it's just it's normally, we've gotten very lucky with the weather. And so oftentimes it's a beautiful spring day and you just come out and dress your best and have a great time.
Yeah. Well, and I'm actually off this year, so you might catch me and Tyler out there.
Nice.
Hopefully.
Nice.
It is pretty hard to get into that.
Yeah. So the thing about the garden party is that the way you get tickets to the garden party is either be a sponsor, or we have patrons, and patrons are the lifeblood of the festival. Mm-hmm. You know, they pay every year. We can rely on them. We know that they're going to give us their donations, a portion of which is tax deductible. They get a tax letter back from us at the end of the year. And that gets you two tickets to all the events that we throw that are ticketed, including the garden party. And then you can buy up to eight additional tickets to the garden party if you're a patron, or if you're one of our major sponsors or sponsors that have that level of ticketing as well.
That's great.
Maybe one year we will sponsor
the Whiskey and Wisdom Party.
Not going to lie, that's like one of my goals in life, is like to get a point where we are making some money that we can actually support more of the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually something we are starting to do this year, is any subscription to our podcast, which I'm glad you bring it up. And we didn't try to do that, actually. It's not a shameless plug. So any subscription or sponsorship that our podcast gets, since we are a drinking podcast, mm-hmm. we are going to donate back to substance abuse.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of New Hanover County.
Yeah. So. That's awesome. You know, like I said early on, I was a criminal defense attorney, and the Coastal Horizons and those, right. mm-hmm. you know, sorts of organizations in town. I've seen the positive benefit that they can bring to people's lives. So that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, thanks.
As I sip my whiskey.
Right, yeah. So we figured it would be good to bring a good balance to, yes. if we're going to be drinking liquor right. on the podcast, might as well give
it's
back
like
to the community.
Having to read those gambling hotline numbers right. after you do a gambling exactly. spot, right? Yeah.
I feel like, but that's the thing, is like everything needs parity.
Absolutely.
Like, you have, like, if we're going to drink, we should also be helping those people who aren't able to process or aren't able to do that. Just like with the Azalea Festival, like, you guys are supporting the community. Like, you're making a little bit of money, but you're putting it back into right. and helping this place grow.
Right. And, you know, we always want to honor the tradition of the area, but also figure out how, you know, it's 2024, right? And so we want to honor those traditions that we have, but also recognize the community that we have in Wilmington today mm-hmm. as well. Right.
I love that.
I'm sure there's a tricky balance sometimes.
It
though,
is.
Right?
It absolutely is. And I think that's something that everybody with any history has grappled with,
exactly.
you know, over yeah. the last, certainly a couple of years, but even, you know, Wilmington has a very long history, and it's something that we've grappled with over and over again yes. throughout our history, for sure.
So is there a reason why the president of Azalea Fest is only 1 year?
Because nobody would do it longer than that. Like I said, I'm a culmination of 6 years. And I think it's good to have new blood in every year. Right. And the board makes the vast majority of the decisions are made by the board as a whole. You know, I have some input on what colors do I want the patrons party to be right. and things like that. But I'm not making a bunch of decisions independently of the board, and no president really does. So you have that continuity, but you have the chance as a president to kind of put your personality on a few things here and there. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a huge, huge time commitment.
Imagine.
And as you get closer to the festival, that just ramps up. And as we add more events, that just ramps up more yes. and more. So it's good, I think, that we have that turnover every year, because you'd get burned out, I think, on it, doing it full time pretty yeah. quick.
Right.
So what colors you pick?
Black and gold.
I like it.
We're doing I guess it's been out, but we're doing a masquerade party this year for the patrons parties, like our black tie gala at the end of the festival. And so I decided to make it a masquerade party this year. And so the girls that are volunteers that are in charge of that sent me like some color choices. And one was kind of like Mardi Gras. And I was like, no, not really. And so black and gold was kinda tasteful.
Class. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the masquerade thing will add a little something different to it. And everybody will probably take them off after about an hour. But
no, right,
I think it'll be fun for pictures and stuff, at
exactly.
least for that first hour.
I'm kind of sad. This is the first year I'm actually off that weekend, but I'm not in Wilmington.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I never get off. Like, my pops always goes mm-hmm. to the gala for the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, you want to come? And I'm like, I'm working. Hey, do you want us to get a ticket to the garden party? I'm like, I'm working. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I can finagle and get a ticket to the garden party, because you got to do it at least once if you can.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And it's funny. It's like half of Wilmington, they'll take off work because they know they're going to be doing all the Azalea Festival stuff. And I think the other half of Wilmington probably, you know, goes on vacation somewhere and rents their house out, Airbnb or something like that.
Oh, so, for sure.
I know there's a lot of that going on during the Azalea Festival.
Yeah. So Chris still works at Reed Jewelers. I used to work at Reed Jewelers. And I always knew it was a good time to work during that day because we're the one in Mayfair.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of people that are stopping by the store. Yeah. So I was like,
that's one of our parking locations. So park there in the lot and take a bus into the garden party. So I guess they're coming back, maybe ready to spend some money, right?
Exactly.
Or they forgot to buy something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I need a piece of jewelry.
Yeah. It's like, I need to go with this now,
right now. No kidding. That's awesome. Well, Reed's has been a partner of ours for a long time.
Yeah.
They donated some great jewelry for our silent auction for the Chef Showcase here recently. Yeah. And I know Landon Zimmer, the Zimmer family, they're awesome people. So they've been great to us over the years. Yeah.
We had Landon on the podcast as well too.
Okay.
So great guy.
Shout out to Landon. He's an amazing guy.
Right.
It's always funny because of how small our podcast is. And then we reach out and I'm like, oh, people do know who we are.
Right.
Well, you know, Wilmington is becoming a big town, but it's got a small heart is what I always say. Yes. And if you've been around Wilmington your whole life, like I have, it just kind of naturally you end up running into the same people in the same places, you know?
Exactly.
Cool.
That's what we're talking about too. When I first moved down here 12 years ago, even after the first year, I'm like, this is the largest small town I've ever experienced.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, like you would go on vacation and no matter where you were in the country or in the world, that flight back to Wilmington, there's going to be somebody on that flight that you knew. You know, it's like, oh, how was your vacation in San Francisco or whatever? And it's not that way anymore, but it was definitely that way. You know, we built a house out towards Carolina Beach. And when I was a kid, there was nothing out there. It was like you got to Monkey Junction
and it just died.
The Toteman Zoo was on the left and then it was trees till you got to the bridge to Snow's Cut. And it seemed like when you were a kid that it was like a 40-minute drive to Carolina Beach. And now, you know, all that's built up. It's crazy how much Wilmington's grown.
Yeah, just the last 12 years that I've been here too, just that trek to Carolina Beach, it was like none of the stuff was here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm afraid another 12 years and it's going to be solid the whole way down. But I don't know where everybody's going to move. They're saying 180,000 more people in the next 6 years or something
that.
So
hopefully not in New Haven.
Yeah, maybe Brunswick County. But
I was going to say, send them over there.
Build that bridge, Landon. Come on.
Right. We had that conversation too. Yeah.
I love that. So question. Based on the Azalea Fest and being president, what would success look like for you going into this?
Well, first that nobody gets hurt. There's no injuries, you know, because there are people that are drinking in our events and we'd spend a lot of time outside, you know, and so weather's always a concern. And I would say that to me, success would be people looking back at the Azalea Festival after the year's done and saying that the Azalea Festival represented Wilmington and who Wilmingtonians are. Obviously, financially, I want to, you know, hit our budget goals that we hit so we can continue to do this year after year. But really, I think the success of this Azalea Festival is that Wilmingtonians say that's our Azalea Festival. You know, we have entered partnerships with the city and county. So it's the Azalea Festival at Wilmington, you know, in New Hanover County. And so we want the people that live there to say this is not just the North Carolina Azalea Festival or the Azalea Festival, but that's our Azalea Festival.
That's great. I'm going to put you on the spot. What was your favorite Azalea Festival to attend since you've lived here since 3 years old?
From when I was a kid, I would say Alan Jackson came one year. That was really awesome.
That's cool.
Getting to see Alan Jackson, you know, it was like mid-90s, early 90s. He was huge. And and I was like 10 years old, 12 years old or something. And so I just really remember being interested seeing Alan Jackson.
And back then, too, and even still now, some of these like artists, like it's still a pretty intimate in the grand scheme of things of what they've done.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Alan Jackson is doing stadiums. You know?
Right.
Yeah. that's what people all the time are like, man, you should get Foo Fighters or Beyonce. I'm like, hey, man, you got $5 million. I'll get you Beyonce.
Exactly.
So I would say that That was my favorite. And I would say that the 75th a couple years ago was my favorite, both because it was kind of that big, you know, celebration of 75 years, but we had survived COVID.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't think about, you know, right before COVID, there was a hurricane that we got hammered with as well, that just sat on top of us for 3 days. And so that Azalea Festival was tough because we're partnering with so many local businesses. Mm-hmm. And then we get hit with COVID after that. And that was even tougher, you know? And so we kind of went to this, we couldn't do a lot of our events. We did some of them later in the year. And like, we had these small groups that would go and do all those things. But so 75, we budgeted to make it this big celebration because it was 75, but it really became, we're back. You know, COVID is not over, but it's at least under control, and we can get back together in a group and have a good time and sing and dance and drink and do all the things that make us happy to live in southeastern North Carolina. So to me, probably that 75th was my favorite for those reasons.
Oh, that's neat. So you're on the board at that point then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'd been on the board a couple of years, so I came on the board, and then we immediately got hit with hurricane and COVID and all those sorts of things. So it was a few tough years, but you know, the festival's come out of it on the other side in a better position.
Yeah.
I think because of the challenges that we had to overcome. Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've even talked about on the podcast before too. Every story that comes onto the podcast, there's some type of something that worked against them,
right?
That they had to go through some type of adversity. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of plays along with all of the other guests that we've had on from Southeast North Carolina,
right,
going through adversity to get to where they are now.
Well, steel's forged in a fire, you know, that's what I always say. And so, or it can just turn into a puddle of crap at the bottom of the furnace, right?
Right, yeah.
So I really do think that having that adversity is important to both the organization and to the people in that organization, because you really know what you're made of after something like that.
Certainly. So my actual last question is, if you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
About the Azalea Festival or
just in general?
Buy Apple stock?
Yeah.
Thank you. That no one has pulled that. Apple, Google, tell me.
Yeah, everyone says Bitcoin, but no one says, man. One of the,
I read somewhere the other day that, like, I remember when I was a kid, my dad bought like the Apple IIc or whatever when I was really young. And like, if he had put that same amount of money in Apple stock and never touched it, it would be worth like $8 million or something like that. No, I think my real answer would be kind of what I just said, is that sometimes, you know, life is tough and things are tough, but if you can control your emotions and control your thought processes, that out of that toughness can come a lot of strength.
I love it. That's great.
Very, very deep.
Good way to end it right there. But if people want to either follow yourself or follow the Azalea Festival, how can people?
Sure. So it's ncazaleafestival.org. The Azalea Festival is the first week of April. Tickets are on sale now for all of our events that we still have tickets to. Everything we've done so far is sold out. So that's four or five events now.
Oh, wow.
We have the scholarship pageant coming up this weekend at UNCW. There's still a few tickets available for that. And otherwise, you can get your concert tickets or get more information at ncazaleafestival.gov or .org, not .gov. Hold up.
Perfect.
But thank you. Sorry. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It was a blast. I didn't know what we were going to talk about, really. Tyler's like, oh, we got this guy named Andrew. He's coming on.
Man, I'm a trial lawyer. I can talk all day. Right. You just got to tell me when to shut up.
I figured with Azalea Fest and the long history, there would be plenty of stuff to hit on. Oh, yeah.
He told me to lean towards the fest and not about suits questions.
Yeah. Right.
But it was a blast. Thank you for hopping on here. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. As per usual, well, not really usual, but as of late, check us out on YouTube. We finally got that going. We got Spotify. We got Apple Podcast. And you can click the link in the bio and you can subscribe and help support others who might need it.
Yeah. The other way that people can do that too is being our sponsor, just like Leland Brewing Company that are sponsoring us. And also, if you sign up for Flaviar, that also helps support the podcast and others that may be facing substance abuse.
Cool. We'll catch you in the next one.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.